hit's not there. Somebody changed it around. We completed Hebrews chapter 11 last time, so Hebrews 12 tonight. Hebrews chapter 12, as we work our way through the book of Hebrews. And verses 1 and 2 tonight. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so we'll look at these two verses tonight as I speak to you for a while on the subject, running the Christian race. Now, Father, we come tonight to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. We pray for your help and for the blessing of the Holy Spirit. We pray that he'll enable us to teach and preach the Bible with clarity, with fervor, unction, and power. Bless, we pray, these verses to the understanding and the edification of your people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Hebrews has been primarily doctrinal in its teachings up to this point. However, in chapter 12, the apostle turns to practical exhortation based on the truths that he has developed in the previous chapters. Now, this is something that the Lord does oftentimes in the Bible, is he'll give doctrine, and then on the basis of that, he'll give practical exhortation. For example, notice in your Bible back in Romans chapter 12, and notice what he says in this verse, the first verse or two of Romans chapter 12. Now, up through chapter 11, it's been doctrinal teaching, but now we come to chapter 12 of Romans, and he says, I beseech you, and then there's that word, therefore, which points you back to what he said in the previous chapters. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your body as a living sacrifice, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so the Lord does the same thing here in Romans that he later does in Hebrews, and that is he gives doctrinal truth, and then at a certain point he bases practical exhortation on the doctrinal truth that he's given. Another example, if you'll look to Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, and notice what he says in verse 1. The apostle says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, I therefore, there's that word pointing you back to what he said in the preceding chapters, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. And so he gave three chapters of doctrine, and now he enters into chapter 4 by pointing us back to what he said in the preceding three chapters and using that as a basis for the practical exhortation that he gives us to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we're called. And so this is something that the Lord does oftentimes, and he does this in Hebrews chapter 12. And the basic exhortation that he gives to these Hebrew Christians who are suffering persecution and affliction and harassment and peril for their Christian faith, the basic exhortation that he gives to them is endure, stick it out, don't quit. Be faithful, continue to live the Christian life and to adhere to the Christian faith. And we'll see this in these two verses that we look at tonight. Now, two verses And we'll look at them under two headings. First of all, in verse 1, a solemn exhortation. And then secondly, in verse 2, the supreme example. And so, notice with me verse 1, a solemn exhortation. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. A solemn exhortation. Now, the exhortation is found in the words, let us run with patience, that is, endurance, the race that is set before us. And so the apostle likens the Christian life to an athletic contest, specifically to a race. Now, there are two ways in which you can look at this from the standpoint of a race. First of all, he talks about it in terms of a relay race. You know what a relay race is, where one fellow goes around the track and hands off the baton to the next one. He runs like that. And here he talks about that those who went before us are seated in the heavenly grandstand surrounding us as a great cloud of witnesses, and they have handed off the baton to this generation. We're passing off the scene, we'll be gone, and we'll hand off the baton to the next generation. And so he likens it to a relay race, but then in another sense he likens it to a marathon, an endurance race. And he uses an interesting expression in the verse, which shows a great truth. He refers to our Christian life as the race, now get this, that is set before us. In other words, there's already a course that God has marked out. That's the course that the particular individual Christian is supposed to follow. God has marked out our path, our track, our Christian life. He has it already marked out. He has it already prepared. He already has it set up. And what we have to do then is get in that pathway and follow it. If we don't get in the pathway, or if we get off the track, we'll miss the object that God has for our Christian life. Now, the same thought is given in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, where the Scripture says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. In other words, before we ever came along, God prepared some works and some tasks for us to do, and then He fitted us especially for those tasks, and our job is to do those tasks. The tragic thing is that many times Christians fail to get to the place of performing what God had prepared for them. They get off track, or they turn back, they quit too soon. And so the course that God had set out for them goes unrun. The apostle says, get in God's course, get in God's path, get on God's track and run the race. And in order to do it, you've got to have patience, you've got to endure and keep on track in spite of obstacles and difficulties. And so God has set before us a course to be run. It's already prepared, and the exhortation for us is get in the course that God has laid out before you, and then stick with it. Endure, run it with patience, run it with endurance. Now, in giving us this exhortation, he speaks of two things along with the exhortation, which are interesting and instructive. First, he gives us encouragement for running the race, and we see the encouragement in these words, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, the word wherefore points us back to the preceding chapter, where he had listed all the Old Testament heroes who had endured and performed exploits by faith, and he tells us that those heroes compass us about as a great cloud of witnesses. Now, the word witnesses, it's an interesting word. comes from the word we get the word martyr from, and the word refers to two things. Number one, to someone who bears testimony to something, and number two, to someone who beholds and watches something. Now, both of these ideas are involved in the word witnesses here in this verse. The Old Testament heroes of faith bear witness and testimony to the fact that the Christian race can be run and won by faith, and now they're seated in the heavenly grandstand witnessing those of us who are still on this earth running our race, and they cheer us on. And so he tells us this for our encouragement. Essentially, he's saying, since you have evidence of the victory that can be won through faith by the testimony of the Old Testament heroes, and since they are watching you run the race and cheering you on, therefore, run the race. Don't quit. Don't turn back. Keep going. I played baseball. By the way, we hope Houston will win tonight, don't we? If Houston wins tonight, it'll be the first time a Major League Baseball team has ever won the World Series in Texas. And but be that as it may, I used to play baseball when I was a kid. And my daddy came, as far as I can remember, he came to one game one time. And I remember when he came, I wanted to play better that night. I wanted to make better fielding plays. I wanted to hit better. Why? Because Daddy was in the grandstand watching. Now, in the heavenly grandstand are the heroes of the faith looking down on us. In the day that the Epistle of Hebrews was written, it was primarily the Old Testament saints, but now they've been joined by a great host and a great multitude of New Testament saints. I mean, as we consider who's in the grandstand, we can talk about Paul and Peter and John, and then as we come forward in the Christian era a little bit, we could talk about Polycarp, we could talk about Tertullian, and coming on forward, we could talk about Peter Waldo, we could talk about Menno Simons, we could talk about John Bunyan, we could talk about Roger Williams, we could talk about John Clark, we could talk about Spurgeon, we could talk about J. Frank Norris, we could talk about John Rice, we could talk about Lester Roloff, we could talk about Jack Hiles, we could talk about Tom Malone, we could talk about Joe Boyd, we could talk about Jim Vineyard, and as I look up in the grandstand, I see my brother's face in there. I can see my mother's face in there. All these and countless others sitting in the grandstand looking down on us are saying, run your race, stay on track, do God's will, endure, don't turn back, keep on going, keep on keeping on. And so then he gives us this matter as a matter of encouragement for running the race. And then he also speaks of essentials for running the race. If we're to successfully run the race and finish the course, it's necessary that we lay aside some things. He said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And so then we have to lay aside weights, and we have to lay aside besetting sins if we're going to successfully run the Christian race. Now, sin, what is sin? Well, sins refer to those things that are wrong in and of themselves. And many are prevented from finishing the Christian race for the Lord because they haven't laid aside besetting sins. Now, a besetting sin means a sin that's a special temptation to you. Need we talk about Christians who have dropped out of the race because they were ensnared by the sin of adultery or the sin of covetousness or the sin of pride or the sin of unfaithfulness? And on we could go, but we have to lay aside besetting sins. Now, the particular sins that beset you and are special temptations for you may not be the same as those are for me, but what whatever they are, we need to lay them aside if we're to successfully run the race for the Lord. And so sins then refers to things that are wrong in and of themselves, and besetting sins refer to those that are specially temptations to us. But then he said we also need to lay aside weights. Now, weights refer to things which are not wrong in and of themselves, but which hinder us in running the race. We don't just ask about things, is it absolutely wrong for me to do this, but rather we ask, if I do this, will it hinder my Christian life? Will it hinder my testimony? Will it hinder my effectiveness for the Lord? And if it will, though it may not be a sin, it's a weight, and we need to lay it aside. I'll give you a perfect example. I was reading behind Dr. H.A. Ironside, and he was telling about speaking at a luncheon, and there was a converted Muslim there at this luncheon, and they were eating ham, and they noticed that this converted Muslim was not eating any ham, and so somebody sort of jokingly said something to him about whether he thought it was a sin to eat pork, and he explained, no, I don't think it's a sin, but he said, my entire family is Muslim, and every time they see me, the first thing they ask me is, have those heathen Christians got you to eating pig yet? And he said, I want to see my family saved, and so he said, I won't eat pork, not because I think it's a sin, but because my family is Muslim and it would hinder my testimony before them. And so that's an example of a weight. Now, it's not a weight to me, nor to probably any of you, but it would have been to him because of his background. Our goal is to run the race that God has laid out before us, and so therefore we need to lay aside whatever hinders us in achieving this goal. And so then, a solemn exhortation, run with patience, run with endurance, the race that the Lord has set before us. And then notice in verse 2, the supreme example, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The supreme example, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the verse starts with the word looking. Now, that's a word that means looking away from everything else and focusing upon only one object. And so, we're to focus our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ if we're to patiently endure and finish our race. We have to look away from circumstances, look away from hardships, look away from others and their failures, look away from self, look away from everything else, and focus on Jesus. He's the example of a starter and a finisher. He's both the author and the finisher of our faith. And so we need to keep our eyes on him. You can read the account in Matthew chapter 14 of how the Lord Jesus one night came walking on the Sea of Galilee out to where the disciples were on board a boat. And you remember Peter asked the Lord, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And the Lord said, come on, Pete. And so Peter stepped out of the boat onto the water, and for a moment he was doing all right. Long as he was looking at the Lord Jesus Christ, he was okay. But then, as you read the account, he started to notice the waves and the winds, boisterous and all that. In other words, he took his eyes off Jesus and started looking around at the circumstances. And when he did, he started to sink. Before he could sink all the way, he was able to get the words out, Lord, save me. And the Lord reached out and grabbed him by the hand, lifted him up, and kept him from sinking. But the thing that I want to impress upon you is that as long as Peter had his eyes on Jesus, he was okay. But when his eyes left Jesus and got on the surrounding circumstances, then he began to sink. And that's what happens to Christians today as well. We need to look unto Jesus, look away from everything else, look to him. We need to look to the fact, number one, that he endured. That's what the verse says about him, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Now, the cross was a painful, terrible, awful thing that lay in the course that was set before Jesus, but he endured. He looked beyond the cross to the joy on the other side of it. And so we should look to him in that character as the one who endured. Now, he endured more than I'll ever be faced with, and he endured it for my sake and for your sake. And so we therefore should determine with the Lord's help that we're going to endure what lies in our path for his sake. So we should look to the fact that he endured. And then number two, we should look to the fact that he's now exalted. The verse said, who for the joy that was set before him endured, past tense, the cross, despising the shame, and is, present tense, set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He's now exalted. After endurance comes exaltation. Now, I don't know who's going to win the ball game tonight. I hope Houston, but I don't count on these things too much, lest I be disappointed. But at any rate, I'll guarantee you, whichever side wins is going to think and is probably going to say before the night's over with, boy, this is the greatest thing in the world. It was worth the training. It was worth the hardship and the injuries and the difficulty and all that to win the world championship. Now, dear friend, those Christians who endure and finish the course will say one day when the reward is theirs, it was worth the hardships, it was worth the trials, it was worth the difficulties, it was worth laying aside weights and sins. I'm glad that I endured. And so this is the admonition, that we run with endurance, that we run with patience the race that is set before us, and the example is the Lord Jesus, unto whom we need to keep our eyes focused and looking toward him. Now, Father, would you bless these verses that we have seen tonight from your word? What marvelous verses they are. Help us to apply them individually, we pray. Now our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed in a moment.